right, amen. Thank you, men, for leading us in prayer, and thank you, church, for joining us in prayer. It's not my message tonight, but I was just thanking we haven't scratched the surface of what God can do. When we join our hearts in prayer, sometimes we pray about things and God answers, and we just stand back in awe and say, wow, look what God did. But God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not, which means that we can't even imagine the extent of what's possible with God. So anytime someone joins in prayer and we lift up prayer requests, a sickness, God can. A financial need, who's got those? We all got those, God can. Anything. God said, call unto me. So it's important when we pray. Take your Bibles and open to Mark chapter 8 while I get mic'd up. Mark chapter number 8. A little nervous. I almost forgot to put my voice on here. Am I on? Okay. I'm green, but it's hard to tell from here. Mark chapter number 8. I'm going to read verse 22. Through 26, and we'll get into the message that God has given us tonight. Chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, And he cometh to Bethsaida, that's talking about Jesus, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hand again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, tonight, I need your help, Lord. We all do. Lord, we are needy people, Lord. But we know you can, Lord. You can take your word and meet every person's need in here tonight, God. I pray, Father, that you'd use me. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray you'd fill each and every one of us, Lord, with your spirit. Lord, as we listen to what you have for us tonight, help us, Father. Meet with us. Guide us and direct us. In this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was praying about what to preach, God led me to this passage of Scripture, and just a few truths. I'm probably not going to be long tonight. I'll probably shock the children's workers when we head up there out a little early, and you know every preacher says that and then goes hour and a half, but I don't plan to tonight. I just have some truths that God has laid on my heart, some things that I believe God would have for us to learn out of this passage of Scripture that I read to you. You've probably heard me say it before when I read the Scripture or hear the Scripture taught or preached, sometimes things will stand out to me, things that just don't sound right. Now, in my heart, I have no reserve, 100%. The Bible is God's Word, perfect, infallible, There's no thought in my mind that ever thinks, I wonder if this is a mistake. I wonder if this is wrong, if this has error in it. It's not even the slightest bit of thought of like that. So when I find something that don't sound right, or I find something that makes me scratch my head and say, what? That makes me want to look deeper. That makes me want to pray. And it's not always the fact that God will show me the answer right away. You see, this is a living book. We're going to be learning from the Bible. You'll never exhaust the truths in God's Word. It's alive. There's no other book like it. You'll never exhaust it. So God doesn't always answer my prayer right away. Sometimes He'll show me later. Sometimes there's things in my Bible that I might put a question mark beside. And every time I come to it, I pray and say, God, can you show me what you got there? And I'm still praying about it. But this passage of Scripture is just one of those things that just make you scratch your head and think, what? And let me explain what I'm talking about. I put titles on my sermons, and then the title may make you think, hey, what you talking about? Because I titled this, The Time Jesus Missed. And you may think, what? Don't get me wrong. God makes no mistakes. I didn't say the time He made a mistake. You see, there are times people can miss the mark on purpose. You ever watch a basketball game and you know the guy shooting a free throw did it, missed on purpose? Why would he do that? He had a reason for it, right? He was wanting one of his teammates to rebound that, shoot that ball back up and get 2 points instead of the one he was going to get. So he missed on purpose. Not because he was a bad shot. And we all know, again, God makes no mistakes. So we read this passage of Scripture here because everything Jesus did in the Bible was spot on, right on. Everything He did. When He cried Talitha Kumai, that little damsel, she stood up, right? She got up. When He cried, Lazarus, come forth, He come hopping out of that tomb, and Jesus said, loose him and let him free. He came up out of the grave, and so did this little girl. When Jesus told the crippled man, the lame man, arise, take up thy bed and walk, what did he do? He got up, took up his bed and walked. He told the other man by the pool, rise, take up thy bed and walk, and he did. He got up, took up his bed, and walked. When Jesus told the lepers, go show yourselves to the priests, immediately when they went, they were healed. When Jesus said, peace, be still, immediately the winds and the waves ceased. When Jesus told the lame man, stretch forth your hand, he was able to stretch forth his hand. When Jesus told the man, thy son liveth, and he went his way and met his servants, and his servant said, thy son liveth, he said, when was he healed? And they told him at the time, and he knew it was that moment Jesus spoke those words, his son was healed. Something's different about this case. Something's different here about Mark chapter 8. Let's look at it again. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him and asked if he saw aught. What happened? He said, I see men as trees walking. He was healed, but not all the way. What happened? Did Jesus' power, was his power running low? He's all powerful. He's all powerful. That's not the case. He had to try again because he said after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. This is the only time that I read in the Bible where it appears Jesus missed it the first time. And we know that's not the case. So what does God have for us to hear? So that's why I wanted to bring us this attention here and just look at a few things that I believe God wants us to see here. Obviously, this was done this way for a reason. Because God does everything right. He does all things well. And when he touched that guy that first time and that guy opened his eyes and he saw light, but he saw blurry. He saw men, said they looked like trees walking. It was for a reason. It wasn't because he goofed. It wasn't because he's like, oh, must not have had all 10 fingers on you that time. It wasn't because of that. He didn't mess up. He didn't not know what he was doing. He did it for a reason. And you think, why would Jesus partially heal a man just to heal him again a couple seconds later? Well, because then after that, he says he was restored and saw every man clearly. Well, why didn't Jesus do that the first time? I believe he has some things for us to learn here as we take just a few moments to go through these passages of Scripture and see what Jesus has for us. Again, he does everything for a reason. And what can we learn from this? Number one, I believe God wants us to see that sometimes when God is working, he will allow us to try on our own so we realize more how much we need him. Look at this passage of Scripture and you see something that I notice here. The Bible says in verse 23, when he took the blind man by the hand, he led him out of town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught, and look what happened. Verse 24, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. We look at the difference in verse 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. You see that? And he was restored and saw every man clearly. So Jesus touched him. And then he took his hands off of him and stepped back and said, can you see? Can you see? Can you do it on your own? And the man opened his eyes. He looked up and said, I can, but not too good. Not too good. I believe God was showing us in this example and in other examples that sometimes you ever do that when you're trying to teach someone something and they start getting a big head and I could do it. I know what I'm doing. I know. And you just say, okay, have at it. Let's see what you do. Figure it out. And sometimes I believe God might have to do that to us every now and then. You get a big head, you get all full of pride and think, God, I got it. I got it. Oh, okay. Let's see what you can do. Only for us to realize we can't. Only for us to realize that we need God. Amen. Only for us to realize that we can try, but we need God. So Peter asked God, said, let me come out to you. And Jesus said, come on, Peter. Come on. He allowed him to walk on the water. He helped him. But on his own, he got scared. He looked away. He started to sink. But they walked back together to the boat. He reached down and he helped them, pulled them up. I think it helped Peter realize, Peter, you can't do this on your own. You're only out here because I'm allowing you to be. You're only out here because of my power. So now let's walk back together. And he took Peter back to the boat together. How about the disciples when they said, I go fishing? They fished all night. He allowed them to do it. He allowed them to fish all night while he had fish already on the shore. And after he allowed them to fish all night, he was cooking them fish, had them all ready. Then he hollered out to them, children, have you any meat? Nothing. Cast your nets on the other side. You could try it on your own. You could walk away and think you're big enough. You could do it on your own. And sometimes we get that way. Sometimes just going through life, doing things, routines, whatever, we think, I got this. And God can allow you to do it. And God steps back and said, all right, try it. Only for us to fail, only for us to fall, only for us to say, God, I got nothing. I've worked all night and got nothing. Cast your nets on the other side. And he didn't even need those. They drug them fish all the way to the shore, and he already had fish on the fire, cooked, ready to go, said, come and dine. I didn't need that. I just needed you to see But you can't do it on your own. How about the feeding of 5,000? He said, give them to eat. I said, well, what are we going to give them? He said, go and see. They came back and said, we got 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That's all we got. But what are they among so many? When Jesus got involved, he had 12 baskets full remaining after they all ate and were full. You can't do it on your own. But when Jesus gets involved, we see how much we need him. And I believe God was showing us here, yeah, this man, he allowed him to look up on his own. Yeah, Jesus touched him. He allowed him to ask him a question. Jesus already knew the answer. Can you see? But then when he made him look, he said, I see all things clearly. I see every man clearly. So number one, I think God is teaching us and showing us here in this example that sometimes, and I think we can all admit by our own experience, God will let us. Sometimes God takes his hands off and say, all right, is that the way you want it? Go ahead. But yet he don't leave us. He'll let us, but he don't leave us. He waits just like Peter. When Peter says, help! Master, save me! He was right there. Reach his hand and grab him. And when we mess up, God's there to pick up the pieces and fix it and say, should have let me the whole time. See, we need to learn to depend upon God. We need to realize in everything, not that God is our partner helping us. That's not how we ought to look at things. God is our enabler. We can't do anything without him. To realize, without me, you can do nothing. And when we look at God as that we don't get out of bed on our own. We don't try to go to work on our own. We don't try to serve God on our own. We don't try to do any of this on our own. We are 100% dependent upon him. See, this is backwards the way life is. I've taught on this before, preached on this before, that as a baby, you have that baby. That baby is 100% dependent. Now, in the womb, it's 100% dependent. Once that baby is born, it starts to breathe on its own and starts to become a little less dependent on someone else. And for that baby to become mature, when you say that person is now mature, they've through 20, 30 years sometimes, 40 years, it may take someone to become mature, that person now you're saying is independent. They can support themselves, they can work a job, they can pay their bills, they are independent, they are mature. It's opposite as a Christian. We get saved, God takes us from our independency of thinking, I got this, and our pride, and then God tries to make us more and more dependent upon him. So to have a mature Christian is for someone that is 100% totally dependent upon God. And that's hard for us. It's hard for us to take our hands off and say, God, I can't. Except you do it. It's hard for us. But when we can get to that point, we can say, I'm maturing as a Christian. It's totally backwards from life. But God wants us to get to that point. Sometimes God just has to get back and say, you want to learn it the hard way? Do it. I believe this is part of what this passage of Scripture was teaching us. Number two, I believe, is also talking about our transformation from darkness to light. Once I was blind, just like this man, but now I see. Our transformation from darkness to light is gradual. You can't expect to go win someone to the Lord, go out soul winning on Saturday night, win someone to the Lord, and then expect them to come in Sunday morning to church as a mature Christian. It's a gradual eye-opening. It's a gradual sight that they're given. That's a gradual as they're growing. And I believe God was showing this, that man who is going from the darkness to light, it's a gradual step. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Keep your place in Mark, but 1 Corinthians 13:12, God talks about us looking through a glass darkly here on this earth. We're never going to be where we ought to be, not here on this earth. We're always going to be growing. No one's going to get to the point where they say, I've arrived, I became the perfect Christian. No. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. So though our sight is open, our eyes are open, we can see, we can't see everything clearly like we will one day. But God, every time you get into Scripture, every time you go to church, every time you go to Sunday school, God starts giving you more and more light and starts opening your eyes a little more and more and more and helping you to grow and as you're going from darkness to light to get to that point. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is a very familiar Scripture, 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I look at that last part, are become. It doesn't say became. This isn't past tense. This isn't something that's happened and it's done. And it doesn't say will become. It's not something that will happen in the future. This is something that is happening right now, a gradual transformation that God is transforming you and making you new. You're growing, and it's a gradual growth. Some people grow faster than others, and God talks about that and addresses some people that are growing too slow, people that are still drinking the milk of the word when they should be eating the strong meat and even teaching others, being babes in Christ when they shouldn't be. God wants us to grow, but he doesn't expect someone to get saved and all of a sudden be, they got it all. They got all the answers. They know it all. They're perfect. It's a gradual growth, and so we need to have patience with others. We need to help others grow. I think Paul's a perfect example as others took him in and helped him as he when he first got saved and helped him teach him and helped him to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says, you know, desires, newborn babes, desire the strong milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Growing. So this is something that I believe God was showing that this isn't something that just happens instantly. Darkness to light, God wanted us to see that it is a gradual step. And lastly, I believe what I want to talk about tonight, I believe God wanted us to show us what our focus should be on. God wanted to show us what our focus should be on when he opens our eyes, when we get saved and we become children of the light, what should we be focused on? Let's look at this passage of Scripture again. Mark chapter 8, verse 22, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. I also think that this passage of Scripture teaches the patience of God, the mercy of God. Because if you remember God speaking to this town, he didn't have good words to say of it. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for the things that were done in you had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah or Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented in dust and ashes. He said, these people don't believe. These people, they're not going to see anything because they don't want to see. They don't believe. They're because of their unbelief. But yet he came back to this town. And I believe that's why you see him in verse 23 taking the man out of the town. Because he knew it's not going to be any good for people in town to see this. And he said, don't even go back and tell the people about it. Don't even tell the people in town what I did. But yet he was willing to go back here so he can touch this man and make a difference in his life. He said, they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again on his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. I think that's interesting there. He saw man. You think of a man, I don't know how long this man was blind. If he was blind all his life, or if he had seen, I kind of think that maybe he had seen something because he said, I see men as trees. thinking maybe he had known what trees would look like. So I don't know how long this man had been blind, if he had been blind all his life, if he'd just been blind for years or some time. But I can imagine myself. I thank God for sight. I thank God for the beauty of things that I see. I thank God for being able to see my wife and see the faces of my children. Sometimes you look up and see a beautiful rainbow, as Pastor talked about, looking up at that starry sky and seeing just the beauty of God's wonder. Try to explain that to a blind man. I mean, you just can't. How do you explain beauty? You just have to experience it. But to imagine, to say, what if I lost my sight? I've experienced these things. What if I lost my sight? And then years later, my sight was restored. What would I want to see? All the things that when I'm blind, I'm thinking, oh, if I could just see a sunset again. Oh, if I could just see a rainbow. Oh, if I could just see a butterfly or a bird. And those things that we think are a beauty. But when Jesus made him look up, he didn't direct his look to the flowering blossoms of the trees or the flowers or the birds of the air. He didn't direct his focus to the sky and the clouds and the animals. He didn't direct his focus to any of the things that we think are a beauty. What did he direct his focus to? He said, I see every man clearly. When Jesus made him look, he directed his focus at man. And sometimes we get off focus. We think, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to see the street of gold, the gate of pearl, the walls of jasper, and we get off focus thinking, you know, whatever. And God sometimes has to direct our focus and say, I want you focused on the souls of men. He didn't leave us here just for us to gaze and wonder, yes, we're supposed to be praising God. Yes, we're supposed to be bringing glory to God. And yes, we can look out and praise God and lift our hands and say, God, you're wonderful. You did all this. But even more than all that, God wants us to look at man and say, God, you gave your life for them. God, they're on their way to hell if I don't tell them about you. Oh, if we can just get that focus of this man. And we can't get it without God. We can't get it on our own. We can't get it unless Jesus is taking our eyes and saying, look at what I want you to see. And it says his sight was restored and he saw every man clearly. Sometimes we like to ignore people, don't we? People we pass by in the grocery store, people that we're driving by on the road, we like to ignore them. And we know they're out there. We like to just focus on where we're going, what we got to do, our time schedule, whatever else that we're focused on. And we take our eyes off of what God wants us to see. Hold it, God would just break our hearts again. Give us a burden and give us a vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. And it's because our vision is not on them. When our vision's not on them, guess what? They're going to perish because no one's telling them. No one's telling them they're going to hell. No one's telling them God loves them. No one's telling them Jesus died for you. Because of our vision, we have no vision. We're not looking at where we ought to. If we did and just saw every man clearly. We used to have a man in the church when I was growing up, Brother Porter, used to sing a song, Let Me See This World the Way You See. Talking about Jesus, and it was a prayer. If I could see people like you see them, God, I know I'll serve you better. I know I'll do more. Because people are dying. People are perishing. And our vision is we're seeing trees. We're not seeing the men. We're seeing trees walking. We're seeing things that might bring enjoyment to us, things that might distract us, things that might be amusing to us. We're not seeing clearly. Why? Because we're trying it on our own. We're trying to live our life on our own. We're trying to do our own thing. We're trying to squeeze God in, so to speak, but not let God lead. Not let God take our focus and take our eyes and say, look. look at what's important. Look at what I want you to look at. We all have dreams. I'm looking at the young people that are in here tonight. You have dreams and you have goals in your life, and you ought to. You ought to have a plan. Have good godly dreams. Have a direction that you're going. That's a saying, you know, if you shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You ought to have a goal and a focus and a dream. But make sure your focus is what God wants you to focus on. Make sure your vision is what God wants you to have a vision on. Or you're just going to be seeing men as trees, ignoring them as you're passing by. It's just nothing. It's just a tree. It doesn't matter. They'll use it as firewood. They'll use it to write books with. The tree doesn't matter. Well, I'm not a tree hugger. I think you can guess that. If someone cuts a tree down, my heart doesn't break. I'm not going to sit there and cry and try to chain myself to the tree and say, no, you can't cut this tree down. There's a lot of trees out there. God's got plenty of them out there for us. And we look at that and think, it doesn't matter. But when we see people, when we see men as trees, there's a problem. There's a problem. It's a problem in our heart. There's a problem in our head. There's a problem because we are focused on us. We're focused on things that don't matter. Because it got me. I'm thinking, why wouldn't this man be looking at the sky? I think the beauty of a sunny day. We've had some good days this week. We got a Bible school. I mean, we had some beautiful weather in Bible school. God held back the rain, gave us good temperatures. I mean, it was beautiful. You go outside and just think, wow, God, this is wonderful. And to think of a blind man, what would we need to be focused on? But yet, we see here in this scripture, he wasn't looking. I see all the trees clearly. That's not what he said. I see the flowers. All the beautiful flowers. He didn't say that. All the colors. The birds. The butterflies. He didn't say any of that. Look at that crystal river flowing. Oh, the town. Look at that beautiful town. No, he didn't say that. I see men. Clearly. And it was obviously that's what God wanted them to see. What do you see, sir? Well, I see trees. No. Look again. Allow God to help you look. And you'll see souls. You'll see men. You'll see women. Children, I think it's great, bus workers. And they go out and knock doors. They see souls. People that drive by areas in their bus route, and as they're going through, they just look and see children out playing, and they see souls that they got to reach. People that you work with, a lot of you are praying for your coworkers. They're men with an ever-living soul. We need to get a clear vision of men, clear vision of women, clear vision of children, clear vision that it's eternal. Tree, it's not eternal. It'll burn in the fire. Seeds will be planted, another tree will grow in its place, but a soul that's going to live, last forever. In one place or the other, in heaven or in hell. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. No, despite what people may try to make you believe, this book teaches that when we leave our body, when this body dies, it's forever. There's no getting back in and getting a second chance. No, when this body dies, after it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Heaven or hell for all eternity. How's your vision? You trying it on your own? Sad to say, my answer most times is probably yes. I do a lot on my own that I shouldn't. It's good to take time like this that God will work on our hearts and say, enough. You can't. You shouldn't. Allow him to say, okay, give me a vision. The men sing it. Give me a vision. What are you going to see in your vision? Men, clearly. Will it change your life? I think it will. I think you're focused. I think you're what's important to you tomorrow morning. If you allow God to focus your vision, tomorrow morning, you'll probably have something different that's important to you than it was today. Because we focus on trees, things that don't matter. He said, he took and put his hands on him again, upon his eyes, made him to look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Millions of things he could have been looking at, but Jesus wanted him to see men. And where there is no vision, the people perish. Bow your heads with me.